Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, and listen as we have a calm conversation, or a calm conversation, about the mundane. And it's meant for you to just listen, relax, think of nothing else, and let it take you where it will. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Marco Timpano. Amanda is still a little under the weather, so I'm very grateful to a dear friend of ours who has joined me this evening in the studio. Welcome, Lois Tucker Keating, back to the Insomnia Project.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Lois, you were on an episode way back when about quilting, and it's actually one of the fan favorite episodes that people actually find very relaxing. So thank you. I don't know if I ever told you that, but it's one of the ones people quote is the quilting episode.
Oh, that's so awesome. I finished the quilt that I was working on
at
the time, so I don't know if we talked about that, but eventually I did, yeah.
And was it an accomplishment? Were you happy or were you sad to see it end?
No, I was really looking forward to it. It took 7 years overall. And it's a queen-size quilt, and all the bits and pieces I learned along the way kind of all came together in the end, and it was really a great accomplishment. I'm so glad that I did it.
You know, quilts often hold sentimental value and can be passed down through generations. Can you share a story about a quilt that you made that holds special meaning and memory to you?
Sure. So the quilt that I made was a memory quilt from my late husband's clothes that I made for my daughter, Briar. And so it was all different kinds of shirts and pants and swimsuits and Hawaiian shirts, all different fabrics cut up to different pieces into like a scrappy kind of pattern.
Okay.
And then I also put our little family logo in there.
I love it.
And then with the free motion quilting part, I wrote some secret messages in there for her too. So this will be a quilt for my daughter to have with all the memories of her dad.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And I like that it's scrappy because Paul was scrappy. You know, it's a wonderful way to honor him.
True. True. I never thought of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Lois, I'm very fortunate because Lois has made us some quilted pieces that I cherish. Ones that we take out for Christmas, our Christmas placemats, and we have Christmas like mug mats.
I don't know. Mug rugs.
Mug rugs,
yeah.
Which I love. Just for the record, I just need to say that.
Oh, that's so
and
great.
A practical quilt that you've done, quilting that you've done for us that is so helpful is you made luggage arm covers. I don't know how to describe that.
I call those tag my bags. And so they're little, Velcro pieces you put over your handle instead of tying ribbon or a bag to your luggage so you can find it. And they're also soft for when you have to carry it.
And our luggage is black. And so when it comes off the carousel, so many luggage is black. And that beautiful quilted bright pattern you put stands out. I see it from a mile away and I'm like, that's my black luggage. And it stands out from everyone else's. So I'm very grateful to you.
Oh, you're welcome.
One of the things I love about Lois, listeners, is that she's such a great host. Whenever we go to your home, you always provide a warmth and a very caring way of like bringing us coffee or tea, but it's also very casual. So it never feels like, you know, you're doting on us, but you're very like, what can I get you? I've got this new drink or whatnot. And I just want to thank you for that because I feel like I learned a lot from how you treat us when we're guests in your home. What's your approach to that?
Well, I'm from the East Coast. of Canada. So people stop by for a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or whatever regularly. It's not like always a planned event like it might be amongst us or with our friends here in the city. So I don't know. I guess it's usually just a thing I'm used to doing all the time, just having, even if somebody comes over or stops in, you just, you know, have a little cup of tea or coffee or something. And then, you know, it's such a pleasure to be able to have your friends in your home. And that's even more so now since, you know, the pandemic and everything.
Sure, sure. Lois is from Newfoundland. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But listeners, so Lois came over to record the podcast. And I wanted to show her my backyard because, as you know, we've lit it with a lot of lights. And I wanted an honest opinion about how it looks. And because Lois and I share this sort of love of home caring and homemaking, and we often get into long conversations about, you know, what latest thing we purchased at Costco that works at the home, or, you know, cutting the grass and whatnot. And I love having conversations with Lois. So I said, Lois, can you be honest and tell me what you think of the lights in our backyard? And you were, and I appreciate that.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, you like them. It made me feel really good, actually.
Yeah, I like them.
So we mentioned this. You're from Newfoundland. Originally, you now live in Ontario, and you're a dear friend of ours, in particular Amanda's. But I wanted to ask you, can you share a memorable experience or story that highlights the warmth and friendliness of Newfoundlanders like yourself?
There's a lot of stereotypical stories,
sure.
I guess. One story that I remember from my childhood, mm-hmm. So we lived outside the city and, you know, maybe about 15, 20 minutes, and we're kind of on a country road, and it was a snowstorm. And I was pretty young, maybe like 8 or so, and this gentleman knocked on the door, and
okay.
It was at night and it was dark.
Sure.
And in the middle of a snowstorm. And this guy, in my memory, was very big. He had a lot of hair, a big beard. He was stranded. His car broke down or something. And so I remember I was like watching at the door, waiting to see what was going to happen because it seemed like something out of a movie.
Was it around Christmas? Because it sounds like a Hallmark Christmas movie you're describing. And this is Santa. That's
and
what
so,
I'm picturing.
No.
Okay.
But so this guy came in.
Sure.
And he ended up staying with us for a bit till the storm passed and he could get his car dug out of the part of the road, or the plow came. And so he came in and we chatted, and I think we were making some dinner, and he helped season it in a different way that we weren't used to. And it was kind of like one of those, you hear stories about people welcoming people into their home all the time, but I hadn't really experienced that with strangers because we knew everybody
sure.
around us. So that was pretty one where, you know, this guy needed some help and he knocked on our door and he weathered the storm with us.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of sense of community when people talk about Newfoundlanders and Newfoundland. How do you think this has shaped the identity of the province?
Well, I think that Newfoundlanders have always been typically known to be a friendly population.
Sure.
And so definitely, you know, tourism is really very popular because of that. And you can literally, I have so many friends who I recommend where to go at home, and then they go and they have these little experiences in little towns where they go. And I always say, oh, ask for so-and-so because, you know, we might be related to them there if you pop in. And they're like, no, we're not going to say that. And it's like, of course you should. You might really run into people we know. So definitely, like, tourism has really brought in a lot of people and the way things are going. I mean, this year's an incredible year for icebergs.
Oh.
I think that's really been a big industry for us, for sure. But I think the more people come, like, Newfoundland has such a good other side of things where, you know, there's so much high tech and so much, you know, industry happening as well, that it's really diversified for such a small population place. Yeah.
I'm so wanting to go. I've never been, and I'm so wanting to go. And if you haven't had a chance to see the play Come From Away that takes place in Gander, Newfoundland, that certainly shows a sense of community. But how do you feel about that particular play? I loved it when I saw it.
I loved it too. I've seen it several places. Okay. And you know, it is on in Gander this summer.
That's right.
And so that's going to be a real special event this summer for it to be hosted and homed in Gander there. I mean, there's so much history from 9/11 and all the things there that you can see at the town hall and all the different pieces of the Twin Towers beams that are there and different things. But yeah, it's going to be really exciting for that to be there. But I think it's lovely, and I really enjoyed seeing it in Toronto.
Right.
And that it's really bringing a bit of the culture to the rest of the world. And the music is fantastic.
The music is wonderful. And it really is lasting. And I'm saying this, Lois, I'm not someone who loves musicals. That's not my thing. Amanda loves going to see musicals. Me, I'm a harder sell. And we took Amanda's parents, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, and I sat with my father-in-law, and Amanda sat in a different section with her mother. And we, all four of us, had the most wonderful time, even though we weren't next to each other, and we were just having so much fun. You know, Newfoundland's also known for its stunning natural landscapes. What are some of your favorite places to explore, and what are some outdoor activities that you find engaging?
Okay, so I will say that this time of year, if you were home
in
Newfoundland, definitely going to look at the icebergs is hot topic this time of year.
Sure.
But if there's a lot of icebergs, it's going to be really cold usually.
Okay.
So that makes the weather not as, you know, seasonable. But my favorite place, I have a couple of favorite places.
Oh, you can tell them all.
So where we're from, our family's from St. Philip's, and my aunt and uncle, my uncle lives there now, and they call it Out on the Point, and it's a little, you know, looking over the harbor, and you can see the ocean, and you can see Belle Island in the distance, and it's a really cute view from St. Philip's Beach down there. That's really nice because that's where we're from. And then my other favorite place, and my daughter's absolute favorite place, is called Trout River on the west coast of Newfoundland in Gros Morne. And that's where my grandmother's family was from. And we have lots of relatives still out there. And that has a really beautiful, wide beach. They have a come home year. Sometimes where like they have a big festival in the summer and everybody comes home from away, literally home from away. And they have a big celebration. And so a few years ago, we went to that and got to know more relatives. And it was just so lovely.
Is this your mom's mom or your dad's mom?
My mom's mom.
Your mom's mom. Okay. Yep. I know Lois's parents too, and they're really lovely. Now, let me ask you this. How do you think the natural beauty of the province has impacted your connection to the environment?
Huh. Good question.
Yeah, because you have a stunning backyard. You have a way. Now, I know something interesting about Lois is she's allergic to flowers.
Yes.
You're allergic to flowers. And so you have to really deal with nature in a different way than most people.
Yeah, so my favorite thing about COVID is that when I went to the garden center and I had my mask on, it was so much better.
Oh.
So now I just wear my mask all the time to the garden center when I'm picking out plants for the house or for the yard. But my family, most people think of Newfoundland as all fisher people, but my dad's family were all farmers.
Okay.
And we still have farmers in that side of the family.
Right.
So you'd think I have a green thumb.
Okay.
And I don't think that I don't, but it's not my love. It's not my passion for sure. But I do enjoy, sometimes I have a little garden that we made over the last couple of years. And so I have a few things I've planted there. But how would I say? I definitely like having a bit of space and land. I do enjoy that. for sure I'd prefer if it was close to the ocean, but could have this kind of weather. If I could find a way to do that here, that would be really great.
It's been very warm here lately, so that's what Lois is referring to. But as you mentioned, in Newfoundland, especially this time of year, could be very cold depending on how many icebergs are there, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but no, I definitely appreciate nature, right? We spent a lot of time in nature growing up and in the woods and going for a boil up where you take your kettle and you go into the woods and you make a fire and have like tea and beans or tea and hot dogs.
I've never heard of this boil up, and now all I want to do is go on a boil up. This sounds amazing.
Yeah, we'll get my brother to help take you on one when we go home.
I love Lois's brother. I think I met him once, and he is one of my favorite people on social media. I just need to say that. I don't know if he's going to listen to this episode, but I just need to say it to you because your brother's one of my favorite people. And when I do go to Newfoundland, I just want to hang out with him for a bit.
Yeah, he's really, he loves a good boil up. So they take their quad or side-by-side, which is like an ATV all-terrain vehicle, into the woods. And you have your stuff you need to make a fire. And then you go and you have like a lunch. And then you drive around and then you pack up and you come home. That's like a day on the weekend in Newfoundland.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. I love just doing something spontaneous like that, enjoying nature, but also the comforts of home, like a nice warm tea.
Mm-hmm.
I love a good tea. Do you take your tea with milk and sugar?
Just milk.
Oh.
I gave up sugar in 2005 with Paul.
Lois, I didn't know that. I wish I could give up sugar. It's really difficult for me.
I was a double-double all the time and everything, tea, coffee, anything. And then I went to cut back, switched to artificial sweetener, and it was horrible. So then I stopped. And so now I'm down to just milk or cream.
Oh, that's great. For our international listeners, a double-double is what Canadians refer to when we want two teaspoons of sugar and two creamers in our coffee, whether it be cream or milk. That's what we call a double-double. And so in case you're like, well, what exactly is that? It's one of my favorite things. Now, all right, so we've talked about the community. We've talked about nature and the environment. Newfoundland, if our listeners don't already know this, has a rich musical tradition, including its own genres like Newfoundland and Labrador folk music. Let me ask you how the local music scene has influenced your own musical tastes or style.
Well, I definitely love traditional Newfoundland music, which is definitely based on a lot of Irish music.
Sure.
You know, Newfoundland was primarily settled by the English and the French and the Irish. So definitely there's a lot of Irish kind of music and a lot of fiddle and accordion and the boron drum. And those are, you know, traditional instruments. For me, I definitely love all of that. I think it's great. I definitely follow a lot of our generation folk artists.
Okay.
That's been, you know, people who are kind of keeping the traditions alive while also developing their own kind of more modern styles.
Who would be an example of who you might recommend people listen to?
Maybe Ian Foster.
Okay.
Or a buddy of mine, Chris Picco. He does some of that too. There's quite a few, and they are really great.
And you were saying, sorry, before I cut you off,
oh,
I
no,
apologize.
No. Craig Young is another one.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's just so many great artists and music. A lot of people play music in that. I find here where we live, I don't have a lot of friends who, you know, play guitar or like we're sitting around, bring out instruments.
Sure.
But back home, that's pretty popular. And then I did learn to play the button accordion when I wrote a play back in 2005. So there was quite a few years before that, but I used it in the play. And so I have a little bit of that I do sometimes.
Was it tricky to learn how to play the button or accordion?
Well, there's this, I'm not sure the name of the company, but you could buy these books of how to play by number. So somebody had written a book series on how to play. So I learned that way. But then because I read music a little bit, I was able to adapt it. But anybody who wants to learn, there's definitely some easy ways to learn how to play it.
Fantastic.
It's pretty easy.
Is it?
Well, the button part on the right, but the in and out with the bellows.
Yes.
That's a little bit harder.
Okay.
Like, to get the bass and all that in at the same time.
It's an instrument I remember as a kid. Some of my contemporaries were forced to learn it by their folks. And I was grateful that I didn't have to learn it because it just seemed like a lot's going on with the accordion, right? Now, I'm talking about the accordion, the traditional accordion, or I don't know what that one's called.
With the piano keys.
The piano keys and the squeezing and those other. It's the other buttons that I never understood. Like, I could understand the piano, but I couldn't understand what the other buttons do.
Yeah, I think it's chords and stuff. Really, it's a bit beyond me. I'm still hoping to find someone who would teach this virtually over the internet.
Is there something you would like to learn to do that you have an interest in that you haven't already? Because you're very crafty. And you also have a very strong business side to you.
I don't know. Nothing that I can think of off the top of my head at the moment. I'm going to be thinking about that. I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night.
I know what it is. I've always wanted. Now, this is a conversation I would have with Lois, regardless of whether we were recording in a studio. So you're just going to be privy to my conversation. So, Lois, one of my dreams is that I would have a room with just gift wrapping stuff. Because I think it was Aaron Spelling's wife, obviously a mansion, and she had a gift wrapping room. And I was like, how great would it be to have a room that has all your paper, all your ribbons, all your tape, all your tags, and you just go to that room to wrap any gift, no matter what the occasion. What are your thoughts on that?
My God, Marco. Yeah. I made a gift-making, what would the word be? A thing. I sewed a thing that hangs on the door that holds all the stuff.
Like a thing where you would put Oh, you did?
Yeah. So that would be an amazing room because I know you're very detailed with your gift wrapping. You would really, really do well at that. Paul was really good too. Mm-hmm. I'm more like I wrap things and tell people Breyer did it.
I see.
But yeah, so I made this version. I'll have to show you the pictures of... It hangs off a bar that goes on your door and holds all your gift wrap and ribbons and cards and paper and all that stuff. But
that would be
fascinating.
I hate having to search for the tools that I need. The scissors get taken away and they're in a drawer or they're under the bed or they end up I don't know where. And then it's like, where's the ribbon? We had these tags. Where did those go? Even envelopes. Like I have a envelope and letter stamp a little area in our office that I don't like Amanda to go near because I always like to know where my stamps are, you know how you get those address labels?
Mm-hmm.
I have all our address labels there. I have all the things that I need when I put a letter together. And I want that same sort of thing for my gift wrapping.
That would be
great. It's a dream of mine, yeah.
Ah. I like to have that kind of stuff together. But what is it about the scissors that they go missing?
I don't
know. My mother used to complain and freak out if I took the scissors from the kitchen drawer all the time. And now I have become that person.
I like to have scissors at an arm's length reach at any point of where I am. So we have our kitchen scissors in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And that's where I like them to be. But I'm not going to point fingers. But Amanda... We'll take them and use them for, when she has to cut paper and stuff. And I'm like, these are kitchen scissors. Let's keep them in the kitchen. Then we have scissors to just open letters. So we have this really long, long pincer scissors that are rounded at the end for letter opening. I don't know where we got that or how we had it, but I love it because it's just for letters. Don't cut tape with it because when you cut tape with it, the tape ends up on the scissors and then makes a bit of a...
Glue, sticky.
Glue, or it makes it thicker so it doesn't cut right. So I tell Amanda, that's not for cutting cellophane tape with, but I have these other scissors for that. So I'm very particular, and I'm sure people listening are like, wow, he's very particular with his scissors, but that's me.
So you know that sewing scissors, you can never cut paper with
right.
them. Yeah.
I had a pair of sewing scissors that I loved, and I used to use them for fine detailed work. Amanda took them with her, thinking they were just scissors, when she went traveling. And then I never saw them again. And they were very pricey scissors. And I don't even care that I spent like $22 on, because they're small scissors, right? It's just, I can't find those scissors. And they were precision scissors. And I loved them. Yeah. Yeah. I'm very particular. If once we open this door, you're going to see I have a little, it's almost like a planter box, like something you put plants in, a pot. And I've got two or three pairs of scissors in there. And I leave them there because I know Amanda doesn't even go near it. And I can always grab scissors from there.
That's amazing. Yeah. I feel like I've stashed scissors all over the place in my house mm-hmm. now. And then Briar always takes the scissors that the ones I'm going to look for.
We have a Christmas cupboard. And our Christmas stuff has to fit in that one cupboard. And that's it. No more, no less. We don't dedicate any more space to Christmas stuff. It has to be in the cupboard. And I have Christmas scissors that stay in that cupboard that only come out for Christmas time for when you cut Christmas paper. Because otherwise we're searching the house for... And otherwise, I shouldn't just blame Amanda. We're using kitchen scissors to cut Christmas paper, and that drives me crazy.
Yeah, there's a lot of good uses for mm-hmm. scissors.
What about your tools? Like, are you particular with your tools?
Yes, probably not as particular as some people.
Okay.
So my sewing tools would be, they're definitely in my sewing room.
Sure.
I have specific spots for my rotary cutter and mm-hmm. my tools that I hang. I like to do that. My tools in my garage, those are also pretty organized.
Yeah, they're organized.
They were started by Paul. I have some things I want to do to that area to make it a little bit more user-friendly and
sure.
a little bit easier. But, yeah, they're pretty organized. Everything's kind of labeled and in like kind of groups.
That's wonderful. I've always admired how your tools are, because you have certain things that I'm like, I need that. Like, you have that, you know, your extension cord wrapper. You have that thing that you wrap it in that kind of encloses in on itself.
Oh, it's a cord buddy. I don't know who made those, but they're brilliant.
Yeah. It's just like, I saw it. I'm like, oh, of course Lois has that. And now I need that in my life. So that's one of the things I'm going to actually tell Amanda, because, you know, when she's like, you're so hard to shop for. I'm like, I want a cord buddy. That's all I need. Get me that and I'm happy. So I'm going to mention that to her.
Okay. That's a good one. That's a really useful tool.
Yeah. I love it when you find a useful tool and you're like happy to share it with people who'll appreciate it. And it's like, do you have this? Because this is awesome.
I got a new one this week.
Tell me.
So I do this thing where on the outdoor patio, I cover it with like a vinyl tablecloth and
right.
I staple gun it on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, every year I need to take it off and put on a new one. You have to take the staples out. Did
right.
you know there's a special tool for removing staples?
Like,
not just like the office staple
right.
one, but for like industrial, like upholstery staples or at the hardware store.
Yeah, does it look like a
duckbill a little bit? Like
okay.
it's got a triangle and then another piece on top.
No, I'm thinking of something else.
You
okay.
put it in like a little, you push it under the staple
mm-hmm.
and then you pull it up and it kind of captures the staple and
oh,
it pulls
I love it
out straight. It's amazing. I had no idea that even existed until I saw it the other day.
One of my favorite tools that when you have it, when you need it and you have it, you're so grateful for having it, is a snake for the drain.
Oh,
I'm telling you. So you can get small little ones that are just kind of like, my mother-in-law got this for Christmas as a stocking stuffer for me. And it's just a wiry little piece of wire that's kind of covered with a plastic, and on the end it has almost like a Velcro end to it, and that's for faucet sinks. And you just kind of snake it in, and it'll pull out whatever's clogging it, right? So many times that has saved me. But those ones will only last so long. So she got it for me a few Christmases ago, let's say 5 to 7. They're no good anymore. But I did find a snake, an industrial snake for big jobs, that I got on sale, and I'm very happy. I haven't used it yet, but when I need it, I know I have it. If you ever need a snake, you let me know.
Okay, I will. One of the biggest adulting jobs,
mm-hmm.
I would say, that made me feel like I was a homeowner was when I first had to do the bathtub drain. That is disgusting.
Yeah, it's kind of the worst. But once you do it, it's the best feeling. Once you see the water go down fast and quick, you're like, I'm glad I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad you were here to represent, to be on the podcast, to give Amanda a break. Thank you, Lois, so much. You always make our episodes so wonderful.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And if you haven't been to Newfoundland, we're giving it a rousing place to visit and enjoy. Until next time, we hope you are able to listen to this episode and hopefully sleep.